It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. Please that you would open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11, the 10th verse. That's where we're going to begin today. So open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. It is always wonderful to open the Word of God and begin and read the Word of God. And so we're going to start now at Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. So please, if you're not able to follow along, please listen carefully and prayerfully as we enjoy this time. Numbers chapter 11, verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased, and Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. The Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And I say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, The people whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? The Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, meaning Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. We're going to stop there with the reading and begin the precious study, but we always begin it with prayer. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will today. It is always so wonderful to come together and to have this study. I just thank you so for this opportunity. And I hope that so many are listening, that hear your word, and your word touches their heart. And please, first of all, we know that we must be born again, born anew. It is so important that we don't miss that. And today, we do. No one wants to face the fact that they're a lost sinner, that they need salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't like to face their awful condition. And until they do, until, Father, they know they're lost, they don't seek a Savior. Well, please, today, through your word, that you will show the folks that they're lost and then show them immediately to you that you are their Savior if they just come by faith and call upon you. Oh, that their hearts be touched today and be moved today. And then, Father, for the church, for the believers, there is much to learn today in what this scripture says, because we sure are a complaining people. And so please guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study. Touch every heart, all of our hearts, dear Lord, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We read this beginning of this chapter, and we find that we looked at the diet there, and particularly in verse 7 and verse 8 of this chapter. Verse 9 tells us how often it arrived, which we know it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then not on Saturday. But on Friday, they got a double portion so that they, on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, which was supposed to be a complete rest day, they would have food to eat. They did not have to go out into the field and gather this manna. Well, we find in the 8th verse, they were eating it, and it was a very short period of time. They're going to eat this for 40 years. They don't know this yet, but right now they are already tired. They're such a, and we are, we're such a people that immediately become tired of something that's maybe of a habit each day. You know, I eat much the same food. I have the same thing for breakfast 7 days a week. Some people that just would drive them crazy. It doesn't me. It gives me the energy I need, and I'm off each day with, again, energy and strength. And whether I eat the same thing day after day doesn't affect me, but it sure does a lot of people. They get tired very quickly. Well, we find that they almost immediately here they gathered it in verse 8. They ground it, they beat it, they baked it. They did everything with it, and they got to where they just hated it. And so they begin once again to complain unto the Lord. We have that in the beginning of this chapter, and we find a consuming fire coming down. And now, once again, they're back to their complaining. Instead of praising God for what they have, we need to praise God for what we have. If we're poor, praise God for all the precious blessings that He gives us. If the Lord has blessed us with material riches, then we need to be very ready to share that and to care for the church. And God has given us, and if you're one of those that have been blessed financially, there is much to do with the help of the church. There's much to do in getting the gospel out. And God will continue and can continue to bless you if you use that the way He wants you to. And so please spend time in prayer to seek His will. But if you're on the other end and you don't have much and you're just getting by day, praise the Lord. If you're a born-again believer, you have so much to be thankful for. You have had a debt paid that no matter how hard you worked or how much wealth you had, you could not ever put a down payment on that debt. You couldn't pay one bit of it off ever, the debt of sin, because the wages of sin is death. And so you will die in your sin, and even if you would hold on to it and you would have died, because you are not capable in any way, even through your death, to rid yourself of this problem, the problem of sin. We need someone that would, and God knew that. God knew that no matter what you and I do, we cannot take care of this sin problem. And so he tells us in John chapter 3, you must be born again, born anew. And so Nicodemus, of course, didn't really understand that. And Jesus just kept explaining it to him. And we know that Nicodemus was saved. He did come by faith to the Lord. But we knew with all his learning and all his book work and everything that he had gained through the years, he still did not know Jesus as his Savior. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're a bookworm, and boy, you have studied the Scripture. You can quote Scripture after Scripture, but you have never turned to a living God and said, I am sorry, forgive me of my sin, and please, dear God, would you save me? You need to do that. These people, God delivered them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea with such a miraculous thing. As we looked at the plagues that went on in Egypt to deliver them out of Egypt, so much. They complained and complained and complained about the diet in Egypt. Now that they have a perfect diet, perfect, they're once again complaining. And as we look at these beginning verses now of the 10th verse down through verse 25 that we have read today, we're going to look that not only in this complaining people, the Lord heard them, Moses heard them. Moses began to complain himself. We do the same thing. We all of a sudden think that whatever burden this is that we have had laid upon us is such an awful burden and such a weight and such a load that we just don't know how we are going to do it, how I am going to be able to take care of it. Moses got into that kind of a pity party way, and he began to tell the Lord that he didn't understand why he called him. Why am I expected to deliver these complaining people unto a promised land that you have given us? Now, tell me why. That's in verse 12 there, the end of it. Unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers. You have made a promise, God, and I understand that land is there awaiting us. Moses didn't seem to question that. But what Moses did lose sight of is that Moses was not the one that was leading these people. God was. It was his responsibility, it was his burden to get these people to the promised land, not Moses. Moses was the spokesman for God. Moses was the go-between between God and the people. But God was the one that was going to deliver these people into the promised land. These complaining, harping, whining people, God was going to deliver them. But you see, what happens is, and as pastor of a church, we get the same way. You probably do with your family or even with work. Anything that we do on a daily basis, we begin to seem like, we begin to think that we are the only one. We're the one that's taken care of this awesome responsibility. God has given me this job, and now I have to carry it out. Well, when we get into that kind of a mindset, as Moses has here, what happens to us that we do kind of fall into this type of depression. We feel like we're having this pity party because we're feeling sorry for ourselves, for whatever situation that we're in right now, whatever it might be. There's a lot of responsibilities in caring for families, and whether it be children, parents, work that you have, pastor of a church, whatever it might be. Understand that God knows exactly where you are, and God never, ever, ever puts us into a situation that he doesn't deliver to us adequate power, strength, wisdom to do it. Never. He never does. He never, ever, ever does that. The only time, my friend, that we feel this load and this burden upon us, it's because I have stopped depending upon the Lord for His strength. I have stopped depending upon Him. I have begun to think that it's me. I have the whole burden. I have the whole load. And, oh, dear God, how can I do this? And God's standing over there all the time and saying, I'm here. It's not your job. It's not your burden. It's not your responsibility to figure this situation out. I know the situation. I can give you every word. I can give you every bit of power and physical strength that you need to take care of it. He never calls anyone to do anything that He doesn't give sufficient energy and power and wisdom to do the job. So we need to spend time with Him. And here we find Moses. He just keeps coming back. He said, these people, they are complaining. When shall I have flesh to give unto this people? This people just, they're not happy with the diet they have, even though it's a perfect diet. And yet they're so displeased with it. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me, the 14th verse says. Too heavy for me. You know, I'm sure, because it's been around for years and years and years, that little saying about the footprints in the sand. I've seen it for years, and I'm sure that you have too. What happens when they get to the other end and the man or the woman or the child or whoever turns and says, you know, God, where were you? You left me. There's only one set of tracks in the sand. There's no longer two sets. There was two sets when we left. Where did you go? And of course, we know the answer to that. God says, I was bearing you up. I was carrying you. And you see, God does that all the time for us. And especially when we get into this kind of a whining, I am tired, kind of a depressed situation, and we just think that we're the only one that's going through it, and the only relief we get if we can say to somebody, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing all this work. That's not really necessary. What is necessary is that just praise God that He has given you this opportunity. Praise God that He will never send you on a mission without giving you the proper strength and wisdom to do it. Our failure is to begin to think that it is something that I am doing on my own. I take the burden on myself. And God is so clear about, I am the bearer of the burdens. I am the one that will carry your burdens. Just give them to me. He is pleading, give them to me. Well, here's what happens. God hears Moses, and He hears the people. And as many times, God does deliver. Many times, it is something that wasn't the best for you. And you said, wait a minute, God always gives you your best. You know, when you complain and you harp and you whine about so long, God is a hearing, listening God, and He eventually says, okay. You know, the nation of Israel got into the same situation because they had the judges. They were to follow the leadership of God. God was their Savior. God was their protector. And they says, we want a king like other nations have, someone that will guide us and protect us and lead us. And God didn't want that at all. God wanted to be the one to protect them. And after a period of time, God gave them what they wanted, which was Saul. And Saul was a terrible king. But the people felt like that a human, a someone like that, would be a better carer and a better protector than God can be. And we get the same thing. We go into all these places and want help and need this and need that. And The church is a wonderful place to get help. It should be a place of refuge. It should be a place of support. And in many cases it is. In many cases it isn't, because the church is not Christ-centered. But if the church is Christ-centered and believes in sharing the gospel and watching folks be saved and feeding them with the Word of God, not picking out the spots that I'm inspired to pick out, but the whole Word from beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, to open the Bible and enjoy the Bible and study the Bible and learn from it and grow from it, get our strength from it, our wisdom from it, we need to do that. And when we do, why, then for a member, and I'm not talking about somebody that's on the church roll, I'm talking about a member of the church is one that has been born again. They have been saved, and they would come, and we will help them and strengthen them and grow them. And by doing that, it's not through some special things that we do other than to bring them to the Word of God. Because the Word of God, and so that's what brothers and sisters in Christ are for, is to lift you up when you're so weak to walk and carry you, you know, and help you to see God's power and strength once again. I hope that you do that. I hope that you're not a complaining people. I hope that you're not a lazy people. I hope that you are a worker, a servant. You know, we see here in these next verses of Scripture, starting here with verse 16, that God, again, not only answered, because He's going to send meat for these people, these whining, complaining people, He is also going to send help to Moses. He's going to tell him to draw out 70 people. Now, these 70 people, what happens is, we have read this, the Spirit of God that was on Moses now is divided amongst all of them. They have no more power or no more strength than they had in just Moses. But now it's diversed into 70 people. You think, well, that's got to be better, because then they can really help. Well, this, I believe, is the birth of the Sanhedrin. And so one man said that there is no more power, it's just a bigger machine. And that's what happens so often when we develop committees and develop an organization within the church. Instead of being Spirit-led, we are committee-led. And we are going by popularity and by favor of the people, not in favor of what God wants us to do. And that's exactly what happened here. Moses felt he had the whole burden, and undoubtedly he must have complained quite a bit, because just a couple of complaints, God doesn't move. But here, He moved. And He says, all right, Moses, if you think you've got the whole load, you don't, because I am the bearer of this burden, not you. But if you feel like you are, then I'll give you these 70 men to help. Well, they weren't a help at all. And so we'll find that down through history, that they were no help at all. Now, we're going to find here that not only in doing this, then, He chooses these 70 men, and that's taken care of down towards the 24th, 25th verse. But also, Moses has just lost total sight of God's ability. And we do the same thing. I'm not coming down on these people, because I see me doing it, and I know that you do it as well. We feel like that we are the one that's just so, it's just our job to do this, and there is no one else that's here to help. It's just me, and boy, I'm weighted down. But let's look at this. We find that that Moses, He gives him the 70 men. He also, Moses turns to God and he says, okay, so should I go out and kill the flocks? Should I go out and put the nets into the sea and just take every fish out? Because you're saying that it's not going to be for one day or for 2 days or for 5 days or 10 days or 20 days. You're going to feed us this for a month. Where am I going to get a month's worth of meat for 1 million, 2 million people? I got 600,000 soldiers here. God, you forgot. This is what Moses is saying. God, you forgot who I've all got here. Oh, no, he didn't. And when God says he's going to do something, you don't have to inquire how. It will come to pass. He says, I'm going to do it. And Moses says, well, how? You want me to kill the flocks? You want me to have the fish? How am I going to do this? And here in verse 23 is a beautiful verse that we need to be reminded of. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered these 70 men round about. And again, we find the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him, Moses, and gave it unto the 70 men. So again, I don't believe that they had an ounce of power, Moses, more than Moses had individually when they finished. I think it just got spread around. That wasn't good, because these men, we find, are not the best for what Moses want. God doesn't need a committee. God needs us to follow him, period. That's it. And so, but look at this. I want you to see in verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is it? That's my question. What's going on in your life that you believe that God's hand is too short, God's power is too weak to take care of what you're dealing with right now? I hope that through this time and these words here that you have recognized, and we come up here, and when we read through these verses of Scripture, we find that in that 20th verse, but even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, be nauseating, to get to the point that you're going to hate this meat. Because you see, God knows what's best for us. But when we complain and complain and complain and complain, he says, okay, I'm going to give you so much meat that it's just going to be coming out of your ears. You're going to have so much that you're going to be sick of it. I'll give it to you. If you think I don't know what's best for you, but you know what's best for you, I will give that to you. And I'll give it to you in abundance. I'll give it to you, as the Scripture says here, until it comes out of your nostrils. God's going to do it. Now, is this going to be the best? Uh-uh. But it's the same way with us. We believe that God is incapable, and so we go to some part of the world or go for the world's advice. We start to listen to them. We start to look other directions. Oh, my friend, go to another believer and say, please, will you pray for me with me about this? I don't know what God's will is, but have me, dear Lord, to like this manna, because I know it's the best for me. And dear Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for not liking it, and forgive me for being unhappy and unsettled and unsatisfied with, dear Father, what you're giving me. Please forgive me. Just give me joy in my heart. I know that you're going to give me the strength to do what I need to do today. And you see, today is the day, of salvation. Today is the day that God has given you. He may never give you a tomorrow. And so don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious. Just await his direction, his power, his strength. And we find here in this 11th chapter, Moses was a complainer, the people were complainers, and God gave the answer. He gave them what they wanted. 70 men that's going to be nothing but a heartache, and all the meat these people are going to want to eat until they are sick of it. Their stomachs are upset. They hate it. That's how much God's going to give. God gives increase, and sometimes it's not the best for us. What God wants is that we depend upon him. that we walk with him. And we're going to begin now with the 26th verse next time we come together. I just hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you've asked him into your heart and now begin to depend upon him for all your needs. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Please, please, needs to be your prayer. Call on him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?